Let the church say amen. God has blessed us once again to be able to come out to share another portion of His Word. I'm thankful to God to see those faces that did make it out, and realizing that we are still in a pattern of inclement weather. So I'm glad to see all of you, and I know that some are wishing that they could be here, even though they can't. But we are praying for them nevertheless, just the same. You know, this weekend, I heard a statistic today, and I thought it was interesting to note. The poor chickens don't have a chance this day. If they do, they're going to be wingless. But you can't get the wings without killing the chicken. And I heard that there will be some 50 million cases of beer consumed. Can you just imagine if just a little tiny fraction of that amount of money spent would come to the church? Wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if just a tiny fraction of those people who are going to drink those 50 million cases of beer, if some of them would also come? But some won't come because of what they're celebrating today, and some are not going to come even after this day is over. But nevertheless, those who love the Lord are here today, and those who love the Lord but can't be here, well, we miss them, but of course we pray for them, as I said. So let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, thank You for blessing us once again, O Lord. Thank You for giving us pause to take a moment to come to meet with the saints in Your house, O Lord. Thank You, Father, that You sent Your Son to this earth to hang, to bleed, and to die on yonder's cross, that we may have this opportunity. Thank You for those who are in the audience this day, and thank You for those who still may be on their way. Thank You for those who are not able to make it today. We just pray that maybe at the next appointed time, they will be able to be here with us. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for the leaders of this congregation and their families and their family. Thank You for the brothers who have taken part in the service at this congregation today. And thank You in their families as well. And thank You, Father, for all of those who are on the battlefield this morning, fighting for the Lord and to hear His word of truth and to teach others about what thus saith the Lord. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for each and every member here today. And thank You, Father, that we all might come together as one, and as one that share the body of Christ. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those who are sick and shut in. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for those who are raising up children in this day and this age. Father, we also want to thank You for the weather that You sent our way, because it helps us to know that the good days are coming behind the bad days, but nevertheless, we thank You for the bad days as well as the good days. Thank You, Father, for just letting us be here to see these bad days as well as the good days. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, and we pray for those who have lost loved ones, and we pray that You strengthen them and their families, that they may be strong and realize what thus saith the Lord. Thank You, Father, as we move now into the next portion of our services, that the things that we do may be found favorable and acceptable in Thy sight. But most of all, thank You for the cross of Christ. Thank You for the death of Christ. And thank You for the burial and the resurrection of Christ as well. Thanking You right now, Heavenly Father, in the name of Your Son, Jesus, let us all say, amen. This morning, the message today is called, from Proverbs 14, is called The Danger of Backsliding. There is danger in backsliding. There is danger for all of us, especially those of us who are Christians. Well, in the first place, who but a Christian can backslide? Because if you've never been a Christian, you can't backslide. What are you going to backslide into? But thank You, Father, for those of us that are Christians and still fighting the battle. Today's message is one which, as a Christian, we must learn to recognize before it is too late. I speak of the act of backsliding. Some Christians are under the impression that we cannot and we do not backslide. When we refuse to accept the fact, we soon may find ourselves headed for a fall. Some church folk think because they know God, nothing else is needed. Christians can and often do caught up in what one might consider having fun and wind up in sin, and sometimes it becomes more than they can handle all by themselves. So first of all, we want to consider what is backsliding. The text gives a plain answer to what begins as how man's thinking can become against what God's will really is. In verse number 12 of the text, look at Proverbs 14 in verse number 12, where the Bible says, "There is a way which seemeth right to man, unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." This verse shows us how man thinks that his way is right, but many men have ran away with that line of thinking, and usually it leads to a pleasing of himself and not to pleasing God. It leads to a way of self-indulgence, if you will, and worldliness. Including in their thinking is how they think that religion should go. They sometimes think that religion ought to be on a basis of, I'll go when I need it. I'll go to church when I need to go. Going against the Word of God teaches us and still teaches us that heaven is their destination. They still believe that they're going to heaven even with this backwards thinking. The Bible dispels that thought by letting us know that the end thereof are the ways of death. Some will go to their death with their lies and misunderstanding. Some think that they are so right that nothing can ever go wrong with them. In order to know what the true meaning of backsliding is, we need but go to the Word of God. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse number 16, where God was speaking, He said, "Stand ye in the old ways, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Now, if you're not in the ways of God, then you can't find rest for your soul until you get there. When you think about the Word of God, sometimes I ask myself the question, the Word of God doesn't always seem fair to us. Sometimes it doesn't even seem right to us. But that's the thinking of mankind. Again, the text says, "There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Backsliding or sin can cause God's people needed counsel and advice, just as we do today. The Word of God is full of advice and counsel on whatever we need. Whatever your problem is, God has heard it or seen it all before. Either He's heard it, seen it, or He knows all about it. When we think how powerful God's Word is, we ask ourselves the question, God, can anything be impossible for you? And the answer to that is no, nothing is impossible. What seems impossible to man is not impossible for God. Backsliding can cause us today to stray from what the Bible says, what God's Word says. When I look in Revelation chapter 2 and the verses number 4 where Jesus was speaking, He said, "I have something against thee because you have left your first love." When sin steps in, the love for Christ and His church will begin to wane. Backsliding will cause many to drop out of the faith and sometimes cause chaos in the church as well. The question was raised by the Galatian writers in Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 7. From the NIV wording it says, "You were running a good race. Who cut you in on you and kept you from obeying the truth?" You were running a good race, but somebody stepped in the way and got in your way. And I'd like to know, the writer asked, who cut you in on you? Who kept you from obeying the truth? So I ask that question this morning. What caused you to step out of the path of truth and righteousness and go the other way? Is it because man said that's the right way to go? Or is it because you think that's the right way to go? Once again, the text says there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. When we backslide, we become a guilty distance from God and His Word. And you know, you never know when God is going to call us home. And therefore, you don't want to be a guilty distance from God's throne. When you think about it, church, you ask yourself the question, how many more days do I have left in this life that I can get it right with God? How many more times will God allow me to escape by? How many more times will God give me enough strength to make it each and every day? As you get older, and each and every day when you wake up, you realize within yourself, my body is not the same as it used to be. I'm not the same as I used to be. I can't do what I used to could do. And I'll tell you something. This bad weather that we're now having is good. This bad weather teaches us that we're not the men and women that we used to be. Because things that used to not bother you began to ache and throb. Things that you used to could do, you can't do anymore. And you say to yourself, maybe it's time I try to get this right with God right now. Maybe it's time I leave man's way alone and learn to accept the Word of God. And I think about it, and I say to myself, God is so wonderful. God is so good. God is the best that ever happened to man. And I thank God that He has allowed me to be here today. And you ought to be thanking Him as well. Because none of us are here on our own merits. So think about that backsliding, what backsliding really is. And the act of backsliding begins in the heart. The heart is where one begins to think the thoughts that causes backsliding. Before the sin is committed, we begin to think in our heart. A thief will formulate his plan, his thoughts, long before he commits the act. Look at verse number 14 of the text. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. The backslider, according to the text, has in his heart forsaken God's ways for his own ways. When our hearts are filled with our own thoughts, the ways in ways there's no room for the ways of God. When a married person decides, oh yeah, I'm going there. When a married person decides to step outside the bounds of marriage, the thoughts are in his heart, his or her heart, long before they commit the act. Isn't that right, church? And I'm not accusing anybody here of doing that, so you don't have to answer. They want what is not theirs, and this leads to sin and trouble. And many times it goes on for years and years. But I want you to watch James in chapter 1 and verse number 14 and verse number 15. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. But then verse 15 puts the cap on it. It says, then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Oh, yes. Satan will show you what we call the fun ways in life. That is living for the moment. Some folks think, when I live in this moment, everything is going to be all right. I'm enjoying myself. I'm having fun. I know what I'm doing must be all right because I'm having fun. But God shows us the way and the ways of eternity. That's what verse number 15 is showing us. Sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. God wants all men to be saved. But we must get on His side and stay there. We must consider an imaginary sign, if you will. If you put this imaginary sign and placed it or posted it in your heart, it might read something like this. Stay the course. Stay faithful. No backsliding necessary. Think about it, church. You don't have to backslide. You don't have to do that. I know there are some tempting things in life. I know there are some things that make you say, make you go off. There are some things in life that makes one think that there is no other way but that way. But I thank God that there is a better way. And me being as a preacher, I understand that sometimes life gets rough for you. I understand that the Bible has given us direction. Our directions on getting to heaven are found in God's Word. But when you think about it and you ask yourself the question, if it's not in God's Word, what am I doing here with it? What is it for? What is it all about? If I can't live for God, if I can't live for God, then I must be living for you know who. And I have to make a decision. I have to make a choice. I have to say to myself, that way that seems right to man, but the end thereof is death. The end thereof is death. Look at the text in verse number 14 again. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. I think that we need to understand that God is awesome. God is good. God, when He touched you this morning, when He woke you up this morning, and some may say, well, I was sleeping and the phone woke me up. But somebody woke the phone up when you think about it. Somebody called you from one end of a phone to the other end of that line, and God then answered you and said unto you, wake up, it's time for you to get up. It's time for you to wake up. So I ask the question this morning, are you in danger of backsliding? Christians are in danger of backsliding. As I have mentioned, Christians are in danger of backsliding as well. And somebody may say, why? And I'll tell you why. Because we still have a carnal nature in us, even though we have put on Christ. In Romans chapter 7, look, go over with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7, the Bible reads, I'm going to start right around verse number 14. In Romans chapter 7, in verse number 14, it says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, for what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. But look at, go over to verse down with me a little bit further to verse number 21. I find in then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into the captivity, into the law of sin, which is my members. Oh yeah, we still have a carnal nature within us. We've got to learn to be careful. There's a war that's going on within us at all times. We must constantly stay alert that we may know how to rightly divide the Word of God. Otherwise, Satan will take advantage of us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and the verses number 11. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Oh, Satan has a lot of devices, church. Satan can make you think it's day when it's actually night. Satan can work on your body, your mind, and your soul if you don't be careful and you're not careful of him. We've got to learn his devices. The writer speaks of this meaning of what Satan will try to do with all of his power to overtake Christians. So we must be very careful that we do not give him the opportunity to do so. Somebody wrote, resist the devil and he will do what? He will flee from you. And that's what you want him. You want him to get away from you. One of the easiest ways Satan can overthrow us and cause one to become a backslider is for us not to study the Word of God. Notice in James chapter 4 and verse number 7, the Bible says, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But verse number 8 says, draw nigh to God, and he will draw, and he will not draw nigh to you. One can prevent becoming a backslider by not being caught up by every whim of man. The popular trend of the times doesn't mean it's acceptable to God. There are some things in this world today that we all know are not acceptable to God. But there's no sense in us trying to jump on that bandwagon because it's not acceptable to God. It wasn't back then when God looked down and created the earth, and it's not now that He is in heaven looking down on the earth. Oh, I tell you, God is all right. There are three steps to becoming a backslider. The temptation, the lust, and the completion of the act. Oh yeah, and I tell you something about that. Tell you a little bit of something about that. When you formulate that thought in your mind, that's the beginning of backsliding if you are a Christian. And if you complete that thought in your mind, that's what will bring death. That's the completion of the act. But the good news, I got some good news. It's not all bad news. I got some good news for backsliders. God does offer a way back. We can ask God for His forgiveness and return to Him and live for Him from now on. In order for us to make heaven our home, we must follow and do the will of God in all matters. Accept His trust, accept and trust in Him, and lean not to our own understanding, according to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5. Man's opinion does not mean that it's God's way. The only way we can know the truth is to study and know the Word of God. That's why we are told to study, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 15. Christians must be careful that they recognize there is danger in backsliding. It can cause one to be separated from God, barred out of heaven, and thereby cause our souls to be lost in eternity. And I tell you something about eternity. Eternity is a long time to be spending your time away from God. Isn't it, church? Eternity has no end. Eternity only has a beginning, but no end. Eternity lasts forever and ever and evermore. And when I think about it, and I ask myself the question, where would be my best spot to spend eternity? And I often think that the best spot and spend my eternity is somewhere where man says it's good, it's warm, and it's pleasant to be. But then I wake up and come to my senses and I realize that the best place to spend eternity is heaven. Because they tell me that the street, the Bible tells me, is paved with gold. And there are fruits, there are trees that I can eat off every day of the week, of every day of the year, and every day for my eternity. Isn't God all right, church? He provided a place for us to go to. Somebody said, well, maybe hell might be a better alternative. And that's only if you are living and thinking that I'll be with some of my friends. And if that's the case, you need to reconsider your friends. You need to reconsider. I know a friend that's like no other friend this morning. I know a friend that can lift you up higher. I know a friend this morning that will help you to beat the odds against the world. I know a friend that will be there whenever you need him. I know a friend that if you got to go to court, he'll go into court with you. I know a friend that if you have to go into the hospital, he'll go into the hospital with you. I know a friend that if you're on your sick bed, he'll be there by your sick bed. But I tell you something, the best part about this friend at all is that this friend can be with you in the time of death. Oh yeah. when they roll you out to the cemetery and they begin to lower your casket into the ground, and somebody say, well, that's the end of me knowing old so-and-so. Well, this friend that I speak of can go with you all the way into the grave and be there with you if you prefer to let him be your friend. But you got to want him to be your friend. And I know that some folks are asking the question this morning, how can Jesus be so good to me when I'm not so good for myself? Well, Jesus is more powerful than we are. And the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And we've got to understand that God's Word is what gets us through this life and what it will take us throughout the ages of eternity. So I ask the question this morning, are you in danger of backsliding? Have you considered what backsliding may cost you? Have you ever been into a store, and let's say you're going in to buy some furniture, and the salesperson tells you, I can get this for you for $36 a month. And then something clicks in some of our minds that say, well, that ain't bad at all, but you got to ask the question, how many months am I going to spend this $36? How many years is it going to cost me $36? But see, Jesus doesn't ask you anything like that. Jesus will give you unlimited friendship and unlimited love and unlimited grace and mercy until the day you leave this world. And then He'll continue throughout eternity. So ask yourself this question. Do I love the Lord enough to trust in Him? Do I love the Lord enough to continue to stay with Him? Just ask yourself that question this morning. And I know my time is, I got a couple of more minutes, but I didn't plan on being very long today because I know the weather's inclement and I know most of you, I know the ball game doesn't start until late in the afternoon, so I got a little time. 5 o'clock, somebody just told me. I understand that you want to be there to see the big game, as they call it. I understand that you want your favorite team to win, but you got to get this first. The Word of God. I want you to understand a little bit this morning about the Word of God and how you're in danger of backsliding if you're not cautious and careful. I want you to understand that no matter how big that game is, the game of life has higher stakes involved. It has your soul involved. And then when I consider how much trust I put in man, and man doesn't control anything. He might control the job that you work on, but he doesn't control the life that you live. He might control the making of widgets, whatever you're selling, but he doesn't control your soul. Only Jesus and you have the mind and the body to control the soul. I tell you something, Jesus is all right this morning. Are you in danger of backsliding? Or are you on solid ground this morning? If you're not on solid ground, you need to ask the question, how can I get on solid ground with Jesus? On this rock I stand, and all other ground becomes like shaking sand. And so you need to ask yourself this morning, how, Lord, can I get on your side? And I'll tell you how. You come by hearing the Word, believing, repenting, and confessing of your past sin, and then being baptized. But what if, preacher, I already did all of that? What if I've already done that? Where am I at now, Lord, if I want to bring myself back to you? Well, you ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask the church, come forward, ask the church to pray for you. And don't be ashamed. Some folks are ashamed. Some folks are ashamed. They say, well, some of my friends might see me or hear me if I come to Jesus. Well, some of your friends might see you in hell if they don't come to Jesus. And I tell you something. I'd rather my friends see me coming to Jesus than to see me living with Satan in eternity. So be careful that you're not backsliding. As I bring this message to a close, I just want you to understand that there's danger in backsliding, and you need to consider the ways of man that are the ways of man that seemeth right, but the end thereof is death. As we together stand and sing the song of invitation.